Begin that. Use hospitality one to another. In other words, open your heart, open your hand, and open your home. Let's be real Christians in the midst of this capitalistic country that is rapidly being converted to socialism and godless government. Thanks for joining us. A big thank you to Bob Knight for joining us. Get a copy of his book, 10 Truths About Socialism. Your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Get your copy of Seduction of the Saints. Your gift of $18 or more to Save America Ministries, both on our website, saveus.org. And I want to urge you to become a partner. Day after day, we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, PO Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you and be a blessing this season.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone from the Niagara Frontier Bible Church up there by Niagara Falls. Pastor Crone, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great, Dr. Monteith. I'm glad it there wasn't a snowstorm coming in tonight.
Okay, fine. Well, has it been pretty cold back there?
Just a little bit. It's funny, the office staff here says that it's not too bad here. We're in the Miami of the North. And I told the secretary the other day that I've been here about 5 years, and I finally figured out what you were talking about. The Miami you were speaking of was not Miami, Florida. It was Miami, Alaska. So...
Well, let's go ahead. Now, we're going to be talking, I think, about the Fearful Creation series that we carry this. And basically, it's this whole idea of, certainly, is the Bible accurate? After all, I mean, how can it be accurate when science has definitely proven that dinosaurs died out 50 million years ago? And after all, the Bible suggests we have a young Earth, and everybody knows the scientific studies show that these Earths been around for billions and billions and billions and billions of years. And definitely, the dinosaurs disprove the Bible. Well, if you want to believe that, you can believe it, but you really need to see these series we have called Fearful Creation, and you pick up the story, Pastor Billy.
Well, that's just it, and you know, this helps the people to understand it's not just an issue of worldviews. Folks, you need to understand that the lie of evolution, it's a dangerous worldview. In fact, it produces a horrible fruit. You wonder why are people in the world today are so hopeless. That's what they're telling everybody, that there is no God, there is no hope, there is no meaning to life, and gee whiz, apparently what you do is you just party up and do whatever you want, and if you got to kill somebody to get what you want to please yourself as much as you can before you die, hey, who cares? And that's exactly what's happening to our society. I mean, evolution says that there is no such person as Adam. You came from an ape. Well, then you keep preaching that message, then why are you shocked when kids act like apes? You tell people there is no special uniqueness of life, unlike what the Bible says, we're creating his image as his special creation. Then why are we so shocked when everybody starts taking life and they're so flippant about it and they don't care and they'll kill you for a pair of shoes? And hey, folks, it's a direct result of what we're putting into people's brains. And what the school systems and the media and everything is doing is telling people to do whatever you want. There is no accountability. There is no God. There is nobody that you have to be accountable for. And you wonder why they do it. It's common sense, folks. It's what you believe determines how you behave. And if you don't believe there is a God, you're going to act like it. And it's one thing, folks, if it was true and we just had to swallow this, okay? But it's not. And evolution is a lie, and we've dealt over and over and over again in our studies and this study on the fearful creation, which is the issue of dinosaurs in the Bible and how all that fits together, is the culmination of a six-year project, picking and poking at it, and we put a lot of time and a lot of effort. And folks, you really need to check it out. It's a lot of current information. It's not just rehashed information. It's a lot of current information. We worked overtime to provide as much evidence, pictorial evidence, video evidence, interviews with the researchers, archaeologists, the people who made these actual discoveries, and this is current stuff. This is stuff that they are deliberately not going to tell you in school. It's not going to be on the media. And at the same time, we expose the media that they know that this evolution does not hold water, especially when, believe it or not, it comes to dinosaurs. We expose.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, even on 60 Minutes, they had a program not too long ago where they had, I was told about that they had to cut this one dinosaur bone, and they found, you know, blood vessels in there and soft tissue. Well, if the dinosaurs died 50 million years ago, how do you have blood vessels and blood cells and soft tissue in the bone of a dinosaur? And even 60 Minutes had that, and of course, Pastor Krohn has something very similar. Other places they found the soft tissue, so that would totally disprove everything. But, of course, they don't want the American people to really understand. It's all a lie. Well, Pastor Krohn, you go right ahead.
Well, again, you need to, that's the fun part that we got to do with this study, is to demonstrate that the Bible obviously has the right answer. You know, I just want to share something real quick. Dr. Monteith, had mentioned that, you know, the people have been trained to scoff at the Bible. What's interesting is you ask the average person, well, have you ever read the Bible? I guarantee you 95% of people haven't. And then even if you just read it one time, does that make you an authority on it? I mean, if I were to read a book on geometry one time, does that mean I get to go teach it at the university? No. And what you see is these people who are making these claims, frankly, aren't being honest themselves, because if you're an honest seeker of the truth, you're going to at least investigate the other side. If you don't believe it in the beginning, at least you got to investigate it if you're being true. And that's not what these people do. They want to say that the Bible has no science. And actually what you find is that the science is the one who's catching up with what the Bible has said all along. You know, the Bible clearly teaches what science has just now recognized after spending billions and still continues to spend billions of dollars, that the universe had a beginning. That was in the book of Genesis chapter 1. No new matter is being created, Genesis chapter 2. The universe is running down, Psalm 102. Life produces after its kind, Genesis chapter 1. Humans are actually made from the earth. That was mentioned in Genesis chapter 2. Water returns to its source. That's in Job 37. The earth is round, not flat, folks. The Bible never has taught that the earth is flat. Read it yourself. Job 37:16. That's only one of them that mentions that the earth is around, is a sphere. Okay? Or that's in that the water returns to its source. That's Isaiah 40, verse 22. It talks about the earth being round. The earth hangs in space. Job 26. The sea has paths and channels in it. Psalm 8, verse 8, talks about that. Scientists didn't even figure that out until, I think it was 1970s. The sea has boundaries. Life is in the blood, Leviticus 17. Disease can be spread by physical contact, Leviticus 13. The law of conservation of mass and energy, 2 Peter 3, hydrologic cycle, Ecclesiastes 1, a vast number of stars, Jeremiah 33, atmospheric circulation, Ecclesiastes 1, 6, and gravitational field is actually mentioned in Job 26. I will admit that the Bible is not a scientific book, but it is a book that came from God, and it does not contain lies, because God does not lie. And it is interesting that the Bible does agree with what scientists are catching up to all along. And again, it's the same thing, folks, when it comes to dinosaurs. Believe it or not, the Bible talks about dinosaurs. We expose in this study that the Bible mentions dinosaurs not once, not twice, at four or five different times. Of course, they don't use the word dinosaur because that's a recent word that wasn't invented until the 1840s. But the Bible talks about different creatures called behemoth, leviathan, the wild ox, and the flying serpent. And when you look at the context, you're clearly talking about dinosaurs. We expose how man and dinosaurs really did live
together.
Hold
that thought. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course with us is Pastor Billy Krohn. He's just saying that in the Bible, they certainly refer to the dinosaurs. Now, they don't call them dinosaurs because the word wasn't developed until the 1870s, but they talked about Leviathan. They have several other names for them, and the descriptions are typical of a dinosaur. In fact, Pastor Billy Krohn talks about how, you know, certainly in the Bible, it talks about these giant animals with a tail like a cedar tree. And, of course, you know, if you ever look at an elephant's tail, little tiny tail. Look at a hippopotamus, little tiny tail. Look at the replica of the dinosaur's a tail, just like a cedar tree. But go right ahead.
Well, yeah, and that's just it. If you don't want to agree with the whole premise of the Bible, you got to, if you're an honest seeker of the truth, you got to at least look at it and see what it says. And it clearly is talking about dinosaur creatures, because the Bible says that God's the one who made them on day six with the rest of the land animals and other animals. We go on to expose what the Bible presupposes also in this study, that man and dinosaurs lived together. We find that actually in archaeological evidence, with human tracks crisscrossing, sometimes even stepping inside of dinosaur tracks. We find human remains mixed in with dinosaur remains. We show you the video clips. We show you the interviews with the people who made these discoveries. We show you the actual photographs so you can make up your own mind. But it gets even more wild than that. We share with you actual video interviews of fresh dinosaur bodies, fresh dinosaur tissue, and even fresh dinosaur blood cells. Tissue that is so soft that under the microscope, we even show you the video clip of that. They can pull back with tweezers the tissue, and it snaps back. We got the interview that with Dr. Schweitzer, who made the discovery. And again, it's not, to my knowledge, even a Christian. And they're all blown away. You can hear them, how could this survive for 70 million years? Well, maybe that's just it. It didn't survive 70 million years. Maybe the whole story of evolution with dinosaurs is wrong. And then we went in to see that they've actually been here with man all along, and it's just they didn't call them dinosaurs. We find them throughout man's history in the stories of the dragons, okay? And as we saw there, that not all dragons are, you know, just these mythical creatures, that when you start to look at these dragons, so you have them in the water, you have them on land, you have them in the air, of course, and once you start looking at them through these different eyes, you go, wait a second, these things are talking about dinosaurs, okay? And folks, this isn't a wild concept. If you read the Bible presupposes that we should still be able to see a dinosaur, even possibly alive today. The book of Job, you could read it for yourself, Job chapter 40. God challenges Job, and he's trying to teach him a lesson, and he clearly says this. He says this, quote, look at Behemoth, okay? Behemoth is one of the creatures, as you mentioned, Dr. Monteith, where God describes that it has a tail like a cedar tree. Okay, you're clearly speaking on something on the order of a brachiosaurus. And so basically saying, look at Behemoth, this dinosaur, which I made along with you and which feeds on grass like an ox. Okay? And so that's the whole point. The key word there is look. Look at Behemoth. Okay? And so the point is, why in the world would God say to Job, look at a Behemoth, a dinosaur, if Behemoth or the dinosaurs went extinct millions and millions of years ago? Like evolution would have us to believe, 65, 70 million years ago, and nobody's ever seen a dinosaur. I don't think so, folks. God clearly said, Job, look at one. He didn't say, hey, Job, think of one. Abstractly in your mind so you can understand what I'm trying to desperately teach you. No, Job, I tell you what, why don't you hurry up and get a shovel and go dig one up and reconstruct it together the best that you can so you can understand my object lesson I'm trying to teach you. No, he said, look at one. The whole thing, believe it or not, folks, the Bible presupposes, you know what, there might still be one around for you to look at least for Job to look at. And that's exactly what we find. We find this evidence in what's called living fossils. I think it's very funny, Dr. Monteith, that the evolutionists, they come up with all these terms to explain away the things that disprove their theories. And one of those terms is living fossil. Hey, that sounds exciting, doesn't it? Well, living fossils, folks, that's their code word for, if you will, creatures that are still living today that should be dead in the fossil record, along with the dinosaurs, as they presuppose. The problem is they're still alive today. We expose this with these living fossils. We find fish that we know existed with the dinosaurs. They're still alive today. Coelacanth is just one of those. We find flowers that existed with the dinosaurs. They're still alive today. We find sharks that existed at the time of dinosaurs. They're still alive today. We find sponges that supposedly existed, went out of existence 100 million years ago, that existed with the dinosaurs. Well, we still find them alive today. We find squids that were supposed to be died out with the dinosaurs. They're still alive today. We find the trees, the classic ones, even the ones that you see depicted in cartoon books and kids' books about dinosaurs, the one with, like, it looks like the bubbling chocolate and stuff. They just found that, I think it was 11 years ago, they found a grove of them in Australia still alive today. And so the premise is it really wild for the Bible to presuppose that we could see a dinosaur still alive today? Look at Behemoth, as God said to Job. If we still find all these other plants and fauna and creatures and that are still that existed with the dinosaurs, if they're still alive today, is it really that wild to think that, hey, maybe guess what? A dinosaur could still be alive today? Is it really that wild? I don't think so. But I will say this. We're probably not going to find a huge mega population of dinosaurs like there used to be on the planet, and that's for various logical reasons. Number one is the population factor, and that's because of the change of the climate after the time of the flood and because mankind was hunting them and to extinction. That would reduce the population. Just the atmospheric changes, the climate changes, it was hard for them to get food and things of that nature. You wouldn't have a big population for that. Another one, too, is I would say, is the hiding factor. Hey, folks, the world's oceans cover over two-thirds of our planet, okay, and there's an average depth of 10,000 feet, which is more than twice that of the Grand Canyon, okay? At their deepest, the ocean, 7 miles, Mount Everest would be completely hidden, okay? There's plenty enough room in these vast depths of the oceans for animals still unknown to modern science to be discovered, which could include some dinosaurs still out there. Believe it or not, that's totally logical. And folks, even that's just the stuff on the water. We haven't completely gone around the whole planet. We haven't seen everything. Even the areas that we have quote-unquote mapped, just because you go through an area one time doesn't mean that you saw everything that was in there, and so therefore you could say nothing's there. It could easily have been way out in the bush. You missed it, or it was hiding from you and came back out later after you went through. It's a huge world. We've hardly even scratched the surface, or let alone the surface underneath the water. They could still be hiding in there. But that's not all. I'd say one of the biggest things, Dr. Monteith, that keeps these discoveries under the lid is what I call the crazy factor. And that's because evolution has got us so brainwashed into thinking that dinosaurs died out millions of years ago and no person has ever seen a dinosaur over and over and over and over and over again everywhere we go, that when a person does see one alive today, they are afraid, of course, of being ridiculed. And most of the time, actually, they are. They turn into, nobody wants to become the town wacko for the rest of their life, okay? So they basically keep it to themselves, okay? But thanks to studies that are coming out, people are starting to come out more and more and realizing that they're not crazy, they're not alone. Other people all around the world are still seeing dinosaurs still alive today. The other reason why you're not going to see a huge mega amount of sightings today is what I call the camera factor. And this is common sense, because even if somebody is brave enough to face the ridicule of saying that they actually saw a live dinosaur today, the next question people are going to ask them invariably is, well, hey, did you get a picture of it? And frankly, that's a good question, okay? But if you say you didn't get a picture of it, even though you did see one, people scoff it off and they automatically say, you're the town wacko after all. But if you think about it, folks, the odds of somebody taking the picture of a live dinosaur sighting as it's happening is actually very rare, okay? As one guy said this, he says, people say if a creature's really over there, well, why don't they get a good picture of it? He said, well, that's a good, fair question. He says, but let me turn around and ask you a question. Have you ever seen a picture of a car wreck as it happened, okay, or taken one? He says, okay, you won't either, at least not very often. There's thousands of wrecks. He says, it happens so fast. You say, oh, it's going to crash. And you say, oh, I should have gotten a picture of that. Okay, here's the point. He says, you think of it or you take a picture of it, okay, after it happened, not as it happens. He says, so if you're out fishing or swimming, all of a sudden you see a dinosaur and you say, oh, wow, look at there. He's gone. I should have taken a picture of it. He says, I don't fault folks for not getting a good photograph. He says, do you got a camera with you right this second? He said, even if you did, if a dinosaur suddenly crashed through your wall, then immediately exited the scene, you would be called a liar for the rest of your life just because you didn't get a picture of it, okay? And so the other one is, it's pretty obvious. It's okay, so it's not that obvious. Even if you do see one, you're going to get a picture of it. But, folks, I laid all that to just basically the premise that you're not going to find a superabundance sightings of dinosaurs. But, folks, even with all these factors, we do still have sightings of dinosaurs today. Okay, and this is what evolution desperately does not want to get out, because this totally blows away their whole theory. Their whole theory is wrapped around dinosaurs. They use that to educate kids in their false teaching from Wee High. You know, you open up a book and it's about dinosaurs. That's how they indoctrinate them in evolution, because the first line in the dinosaur book invariably promotes evolution. Millions of years ago. And then they followed up with basically nobody's seen a dinosaur. And then they start to learn about evolution via dinosaurs, okay? So if you could demonstrate that dinosaurs are still alive today, that really messes it up. And that's exactly what we see. And we expose this, folks. And again, this is a lot of this is current information. You will see actual photographs. You will see the videos. And let me just share a few with them, if I could, tonight. The water dinosaurs, the dinosaurs that we still find in history, okay, the sightings actually used to be much more in the past, in the water anyway, and that was because we've gone from sailing ships to motorized ships, okay? The days of sailing ships lasted about, 100 or so years ago, and during that time, those ships are just, they're pushed along by sails, by the wind, and so they're pretty quiet when they're in the water. And so you had a much more increased amount of sightings, okay? Thousands of reports of people sighting water-dwelling dinosaurs, okay? Today they're not as numerous because the metal holes in our boats and the the noisiness of the engine. It projects noise for miles and miles under the water, so the creatures basically get warned ahead of time. They avoid the shipping lanes and stay out of sight. Okay, but still, even with that, we still have reports of water-dwelling dinosaurs, and they don't want you to find this out, folks.
I just want to comment, you know, because when you actually watch this series, you know, Pastor Billy keeps talking about this, and you keep waiting for the pictures, and but eventually they come, and they really are rather convincing. Go right ahead.
Well, and that's just it. You know, we Dr. Monteith, we worked our tails off because we know this is flying in the face of everything that we've been drilled in our heads from wee high, from kindergarten on. And so we want to make sure that we provide as much pictorial and video evidence as possible, because it's a pretty bold claim just to sit here and say, well, here's what this article said or these people said. Hey, folks, when you see it with your own eyes, you can make up your own mind, but we are desperately being lied to.
Well, the series is called Fearful Creation, Part 1, Part 2, each one with 5 DVDs. Fascinating material. We'll be right back. Pastor Billy, you go right ahead.
Well, let me share just a few of those accounts that we have recorded for us, folks. One of them was back in during World War One, and a German submarine commander said he sank a British ship, and when it exploded underwater...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
And these certainly appear to be these aquatic dinosaurs, prehistoric beings, critters, and he's cited at least three of them so far. Go right ahead, Pastor Crone.
Well, yeah, and even back with the Loch Ness, people have been trained to just scoff at it, but we share with you some of the photographs that they probably don't show you anymore on television, but some of the actual diamond-shaped flippers, they've actually gotten photographs from the Academy of Applied Science. We share that with you. You can make up your own mind with that. We share with you not just some of the old footage. Again, we share current as we could possibly get for this study. And one of the most, it's a film that's causing quite a sensation, a recent one by an amateur scientist. His name is Gordon Holmes. And he spotted it, a creature. And he says that, you know when you look at this honestly, you deal with the facts of what's going on in the Loch Ness, he said it to him, it has the most credibility due to the reliable witnesses and the sonar contacts. And I love his quote. He says, you just can't throw these kind of ideas away and ignore them. You need science to look deeper into them. And that's exactly the problem, because the automatic scoffing produced by evolution, you know, you wonder if science, quote-unquote, evolutionary science anyway, will ever take these sightings seriously, okay? Or is that why they don't want to, because it totally undermines their whole theory? That's my theory, is I think that's why they don't want to, and they just want to scoff it off. Because overnight, folks, when it comes out that you find dinosaurs all over the world still alive today, not huge mega numbers, but you still find them, it blows their whole theory out of the water, okay? And again, it's not just in over there in Scotland. It's even here in America. There's close to us, one of the biggest sightings is in Lake Champlain, okay, over here close to us here in New York. And we share with you a couple different video interviews of people who have seen that and some of the videos that they've shared. One lady, her name's Sandy, they had, we share with you that actual interview. They spotted one from the boat about 50 or 60 feet away. And they specifically went out there because they saw something the night before. So they specifically went out the very next night, this time purposely brought the video camera. And they got it. They got it on footage. We share that with you, about 20, 30 seconds, seeing these humps gliding along the water. You can see it with your own eyes, folks. Okay? First there was two of them that popped up, then three, then four, then five. It was all stretching out in a row, about 20 feet long. And then she decides to climb up on and stand up on the sun deck to just scan a little bit more, to get up higher above the water. And lo and behold, she sees one of these humps coming out of the water. And all of a sudden, here comes the neck and here comes the head, and it looked right at her. And she said, I'll never forget it. She said, I was screaming with excitement, which I wish I wasn't doing, because it caused it to go right back down pretty rapidly. And but that's not the only other. Another one that's well recorded is another lady. Her name is Sandy Mansi. It's a different Sandy. And she recounts, and we share this actual interview. You could see what her evidence that she took there. And she says this. She says, we stop at this one place, and they're at Lake Champlain, and the children are down further on the beach having a good time, you know, just hanging out there at the beach. And her husband, I believe Tony, decides to go back to the car and get the camera, okay, take a picture. They're having a nice family time at the lake. And she said, I'm sitting there. He's heading back to the car with his back to her, heading back up, and she's looking out the lake, and all of a sudden the lake starts churning the water. And she said, my first thought was it was scuba divers. But then it's too much, too big of a group of scuba divers. Well, maybe some fish, she thought. She thought, well, it must be a pretty large school of fish. And then she says, then that's when the head and the neck came up out of the water. She said, I watched it turn its head and neck and look around. She said, when it first came up, its mouth was open, and I could see water come out of the mouth. She said, I had this feeling like I shouldn't be there, because to me this thing should have been extinct millions of years ago. He said, I wasn't frightened. I was actually in total awe and very calm. And then Tony, he came back from the car, and when he saw it, he started screaming. He started panicking and hollering. He screamed to get me and the kids and get back out of there. And so he helped me up out of the bank, and the kids were running, screaming, and getting up there. And when he helped her up the bank, he handed her the camera, and she said, I turned around real quick one time. It was still there, she said, and I took one shot. And that's the photograph that we share with you. Okay, and she took it, and she was certain it was a plesiosaur. She was also certain that nobody would believe her, but it was digitized. It was ran with all kinds of computer enhancement techniques. The guys who looked at it, the skeptics, they said, we're looking for pulleys, for ropes, anything like that, superimpositions. Said, we find no evidence of hoaxing. We concluded that the object, whatever it is, was there in the lake at the estimated difference. It was a prehistoric animal. It resembled a plesiosaur, an aquatic reptile, supposedly from the Cretaceous period, 60 to 70 million years ago. And they said it's got long neck and flippers, but that is a long time to have survived.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment, but it's a fascinating a video series. It's the finest thing I've seen. We'll be back here in just a minute with Pastor Billy Crowe. Well, Pastor Crone, you go right ahead.
Well, in Noctemontete, that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's also not just dinosaurs. We still find it alive in the water today. We find them also on land. Even as far back as the times of Marco Polo, when he visited the island of Madagascar in 1290 AD, roughly, the inhabitants were telling him that there's this really, really large bird that lived on the island. And he recorded it, okay, but until recently, scientists thought, it was just a pure myth. Until 1967, they discovered it was true after all. They found the bones and the eggs of gigantic birds over 10 feet tall. In New Zealand, the remains of even bigger birds have been found, but they were killed off for meat by the Maori tribes that are there. But probably one of the most amazing accounts of modern-day land-dwelling dinosaurs, sightings, is one of the creatures is called Mokole Mbembe. Okay, and that's what the natives call it down there. And it's located in the biggest swamp in the world today. That's about in the middle of Africa. It's called the Lukuwala Swamp. It's about 55,000 square miles. It's almost as big as the state of Georgia. And when the explorers began to go there, as far back, folks, as 1880, they came back reporting, and people that go down there, they keep coming back with these reports that dinosaurs are still alive down there in this swamp. Okay, in 1910, an article appeared in the New York Herald. Is a brontosaurus or brachiosaurus roaming Africa's wilds? 1948, another article appeared in the Saturday Evening Post. Quote, a well-known South African big game hunter named Mr. Gobbler returned from a trip and announced, quote, that there was a large animal of such dimensions that it could only fit the description of a dinosaur, and it's dwelling in the swamps there. It has the head and the tail of a lizard. Well, as recently as 1980, Dr. Roy Mackel is from the University of Chicago. He decides to go check it out for himself. He spent about 6 weeks there. He said it was probably the most miserable swamp in the world, and that's partly because it's right on the equator, so it's about 95 degrees all the time with 95% humidity. The mosquitoes said they landed on them at about the rate of 1,000 per hour. It's just a miserable place to go. And so he says you got to put it in context. He says it's not as simple as like, hey, let's drive over to Africa and take a picture of a dinosaur and drive back home. It's the first place. He says it's, again, about the size of the state of Georgia.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Pastor Billy Crone. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pastor Billy's been giving several examples of people through the years from the time of Marco Polo right up until just in the last couple of decades, people finding the dinosaurs over in Africa in the massive swamp, equatorial swamp in the middle of Africa, but an area that about the size of Georgia is not some place most people want to go because, they've got mosquitoes there that, they'll just almost eat you alive. Anyway, Pastor, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your ministry there at the Niagara Frontier Bible Church.
Sure, you can check us out at our main website at getalifemedia.com. That's GetalifeMedia.com. Getalifemedia.com, or you can just search for my name, Billy Crone, C-R-O-N-E, and that'll take you where you need to go.
Okay, well, let's go ahead with the story about the swamp. Now, did the fellow go over there and spend 6 weeks? Did he ever come back with anything or any pictures?
Yeah, actually, he did. I'll get to that in a second. But he says, you know, it's not as simple as like, well, if they're really out there and they keep reporting these, then why don't you come back with all these pictures? He says it's not that easy. Again, it's about the size of the state of Georgia. It's a miserable, horrible place to be, hot and humid, tons and tons of mosquitoes. It's just an infested area. And he says because of the swamp conditions, you can only travel about 1 mile per hour. And just all day, traveling all day, you only go about 8 or 10 miles. And so you put it in this context, he says if there were 100 elephants hiding in Georgia, okay, and I told you can only go 1 mile an hour, and I want you to find them and prove it, and he said, you better bring a lunch, you're going to be there for a while. And he says, it's the same thing in the swamp, okay. So to help things out, Dr. Mackel, what he did was he showed the natives some different pictures of animals that he had with him in a book that he took. And some of them, he's setting them up, you know, some of them deliberately that lived in the swamp there, and some that didn't, because he was wanting to test them to see if they're telling the truth about this Mokulay and Bembe creature. And so he set them up, and so he said, he showed them a picture of a hippopotamus, which lives there, is native in the area. And they say, oh, yeah, hippopotamus, yeah, we see that one. So he turned the page, he showed them a crocodile, and they say, oh, yeah, we have those. So he tricked them, he showed them a picture of a grizzly bear, which is obviously not there, and they would say, no, we've never seen that animal. And then he turned to the page of an apatosaurus, a dinosaur. And the natives go, oh, yeah, Mokulay and Bembe, he lives out in the swamp. And the natives, you know, were nonchalant about it. They're like, yeah, what else do you want to know? It was no big deal to them, they said that Mokulay and Bembe is about 25 to 30 feet long, has the body about the size of a hippopotamus, but the neck and the tail on it are really long, which, again, fits the pattern of a apatosaurus. They claim that Mokulay and Bembe lived in the water, was hardly ever seen, even by the natives there that had lived there their entire life. They may only have seen them once or twice, but they can hear them from time to time. And here's what's really interesting, Dr. Monteith. He bring back with his report that the natives said that this Mokulay and Bembe lived under the water and under the shade of the trees. Now, that's like, okay, whoop-de-doo-dah. Well, what's really interesting is that's exactly what the Bible said, recorded for us in the book of Job, when God was describing this behemoth creature. This is a direct quote from the Bible, speaking of this behemoth creature. He lieth under the shady trees in the covert of the reeds and fence. That's exactly what God told Job about behemoth, the dinosaur creature mentioned in the Bible, and that's exactly the type of surroundings and living habitation that these natives in 1980s described. It's absolutely amazing. Later, Dr. Mackel, he did take some footprints of the creature that he found on the shore that were about the size of elephant or hippo, except these had claws on them, and obviously the hippos and elephants don't have claws on them. The natives also shared that sometimes these animals will surprise you in your canoe if you get too close to startle it, and they'll actually try to drown you by smashing your canoe with its tail. They said, but he won't eat you, if that's any consolation. And then he asked them if did they ever kill one and eat it. And they said, oh, no, we didn't. They said our grandfathers did. They killed one, ate it, and they all died. And so they don't do that anymore. We share with you other land dinosaurs that they found in Kenya. A missionary, a guy named Cal Bombay and his wife, saw one. We show that to you as well. Had these huge plates on the back. It was just walking across the dirt road out there. They were out in the boonies there in Kenya. They watched it for a total of about 15 minutes and just kind of let it take its time and stayed in the car and let it go by. We find also land dinosaurs in Australia. The Aboriginal people have lots and lots of stories of land dinosaurs in existence there. In fact, it's interesting, when the European settlers started going down there, they were finding these carcasses of these dead animals there, and they would go to the Aboriginal tribes and ask them, what in the world is this thing? And so they would, this one particular land animal, they would call it a bunyip. They said, oh, yeah, that's a bunyip. And there's a bunyip. What's a bunyip? And when they began to reconstruct it, they reconstructed it, and it looked just like a duck-billed dinosaur, Edmontosaurus, okay? And some skeptics will say, well, that was probably a crocodile. But when you look at the construction of the bunyip creature, it's clearly a duck-billed dinosaur, along with the other dinosaurs, because it's pictured with standing up on column-like legs, okay? The legs are straight below them for support, okay? Crocodiles don't have legs like that. Crocodiles' legs stick out to the sides. It's clearly a dinosaur. And again, the only reason why people would scoff at that is because evolution demands that you don't even go in that direction. Because don't you know that dinosaurs died out 75, 75 million years ago, and nobody's ever seen a dinosaur. That's not true. But not only that, we not only find them in the water, we not only find them in land, we find them in the air. The Sioux Indian tribe talks about a creature that they found. This is a huge bird-like creature that actually got hit by lightning and it fell to the ground. And after they searched for it for a couple days, they found what was left of the creature. It had large claws on its feet and wings. Its beak was long and sharp. There was a long bony crest on its head. It had a wingspan over 20 feet long. And the description matches a pteranodon. And the Indians, that's where they get the word thunderbird. That's actually what they were trying to describe. It was like a pteranodon type creature. But we have them even on into modern day. We find them in Africa. One of the sightings is a creature called Kangamato. And means the overwhelmer of boats because it still attacks people today. One explorer, African explorer, his name is Frank Melland, and he kept hearing reports about this creature, kind of like Dr. Mackel did with the Mokolembembe. And so Mr. Melland decides to go check it out, and it lives in the swamps near Rhodesia. The natives told him it was a bird, but not exactly like a bird. It was more like a lizard with wings of skin, like a bat. And then he did the same thing that Dr. Mackel did. He set him up with pictures. He showed him all kinds of pictures of other animals. And then when he showed him a picture of a pterodactyl, immediately the natives started shouting excitedly, "Kangamato, Kangamato!" And so, you know, the evidence he feels is there. The natives describe it totally accurately, unprompted. They all agree about it. But they're not the only ones. We find sightings of pterodactyl-type creatures in New Guinea. In New Guinea, they don't call it Kangamato. They call it the Ropen, R-O-P-E-N. Check it out yourself. And one of the interesting things is that it not only eats fish, it seems to have this taste for dead bodies. And we share with you an actual interview on that of the village that still sees them, apparently. And in the interview, the guy says, do you ever see the Ropens flying at night? And the native guy there says, yes, he saw one come into the grave, and he said, "Where was this grave?" And he said, "It was in a Kamlungan village." And he says, "What year was it that you saw this?" He said, "It was in 1949." He said, "It was a day or two after the body was buried that this happened, and what happened is they didn't bury bodies in a box. It was only in leaves back then. And because they didn't bury in a box, now they do because of these creatures. They put them in a box so the creatures can't get them. But because they just used to bury the bodies in leaves, the creatures would come at night and take the body back up with it to the mountain." Okay, and but not just natives. You're thinking, well, that's just some native crazy story they're making up. No. Shortly after World War II, as Western missionaries began to go into the jungles and the islands of Papua New Guinea, they too, the Western missionaries, hello from America, they began to report with their own eyes stories of these Ropens. Okay. And what's interesting is some of these missionaries report, just like the natives said, that they harassed them at the funeral gatherings with the Western missionaries present. They had to deal with these things trying to take the bodies, okay? And they seem to fit the description of a Rhamphorhynchus pterosaur. Some of the wingspans are recorded about 3 to 4 feet, but some of them are even bigger. One guy, a guy named Dwayne Hodgkinson, he was stationed in Papua New Guinea. And he saw one of the creatures estimated with a wingspan about 20 feet. He said, quote, "He clearly recalls the dark gray coloration, the long serpentine neck, the beak, and the distinctive head crest." But that's not all. They find them also over in Venezuela. Another missionary over there, Adam Hutchinson, in 1998, folks. He says, "Natives in our area keep talking about this animal. They're scared to death of it. It's a big flying animal. They said it's able to capsize their canoes, even carry off the Indians." He said they're terrified of this great, quote, bat that even today the Indians will not fish or drink from the river for fear of this creature. But again, there's been reports here in the state of New York. There's been reports down in Texas. During the 70s, there seemed to be a flood of sightings down by Brownsville, Texas. We actually shared the interview with that on the study. You can check it out yourself. And some of the really interesting reports, folks, and some of the most credible reports come out of a remote country in southwest Africa that's mostly deserts called Namibia. And in Namibia, people report there that, listen, there's not just one here and there. There's a breeding population of pterodactyls that still exists today. Okay? And the guy reporting this, the researcher, he says there is no way you can account for creatures such as this being alive today and have 225 million years of time involved. He said, finding creatures like this means that the time has to be compressed drastically, and we're not talking about those million years, millions of years of evolutionary time. And I would agree, okay? But you might be thinking, well, wait a second, okay, if there's so many sightings of these creatures on the land, in the water, you would expect that, somewhere along the line, that these guys would maybe at least draw a couple pictures of them once in a while or something, right? Well, folks, that's exactly what we find. That's another thing that we expose on our study, is we find artwork of dinosaurs, stonework of dinosaurs, claywork of dinosaurs, and what you find is it's not just dinosaurs, it's dinosaurs coexisting with man, okay? And they are literally trying to cover this up. One of the ones that and cover up is a good word, because they got it covered up with a rug so you can't see it. It's in the Carlisle Cathedral in England, and there's a burial place there, one of the bishops there in the 15th century, a guy named Richard Bell, and his tomb there is inlaid with brass. It's got this kind of covering over it with the brass. It's got these engravings all over it and stuff inside this cathedral that they got a rug covering up. Okay, well, recently they removed the rug, and we've got the actual pictures, and you can check out with your own eyes, folks. It shows him not only in his full vestments with his bishop's cap, his hook staff, but it shows other animals as well that he's surrounded with. There's fish, there's an eel, there's a dog, there's a pig, there's a bird, and there's two very interesting animals with long necks and tails that resemble clearly sauropod dinosaurs. It's now called Bishop Bell's Brass Behemoth, and it clearly shows that these creatures are still alive during the Middle Ages. We share with you some of the artwork from a Roman mosaic about 200 AD that clearly depicts two long-necked dinosaurs. Some think that they're referring to the Tanistropheus dinosaur. We expose all the petroglyphs that they find all over the place, folks, of Indians drawing dinosaurs. One of them is in Arizona's Havasupai Canyon, okay, shows a picture of a dinosaur, many believe it's an Edmontosaurus. There's another one in Blanding, Utah, under the arches of the Natural Bridges Monument, where the Anasazi Indians did their petroglyphs about 1,000 years ago, and you can clearly see a dinosaur. Even the secular archaeologists have acknowledged that, gee, that sure looks like a dinosaur. And it's not fake, because it's got varnish over it, so its antiquity is not questioned. There's another one that we expose in Colorado, and this one is clearly you're dealing with a horned dinosaur, with it looks exactly like a triceratops. In fact, a triceratops looks more like a triceratops than the people that they drew, kind of like stick figures. And that's from the Fremont Indians. There's caves that we expose that they find in Europe, which, again, shows depictions of a long-necked dinosaur. Another canyon called the Black Dragon Canyon shows a winged creature that's got a bump on its head, a crest on its head. It's got webbed feet, and it's clearly dealing with a type of pterodactyl-type creature. And the guy which revealing these discoveries, he says, I don't believe these are millions of years old. And he says, here is evidence that the general public doesn't get to hear. And he says, that's really sad. Well, I think that's really a sad understatement. It's worse than that. It's a call to cover-up. And but one of the most obvious ones, folks, in recent times that you're dealing in artwork, the coexistence with dinosaurs, is that they recently found in the jungles of Cambodia. In Cambodia, there's a Buddhist temple there that they recently found. And we share with you the actual photographs, the actual interview, the guy who went there and photographed it, okay, you can check it out yourself. And right there in the temple, in the entrance of the temple, all outside the main entrance there, you see depictions of monkeys and deer and water buffalo and parrots and lizards right there in the temple. And right smack dab in the middle, in the stone artwork there, is a perfect picture of a stegosaurus, okay? Perfect picture. I mean, I remember when I first came across this, Dr. Monteith, I literally got out of my office. I went over there to the secretary, and I had to show her the picture. I said, "This is unbelievable. How could you deny this? It's absolutely amazing." And we share not just the picture; we share the actual video interview of the guy making the discovery. And it's clear, folks. A perfect stegosaurus in a temple from just 800 years ago. And again, remember, we're not supposed to know what dinosaurs look like until only about recently, 150 years ago. And I like what one guy said. He says, it's clear that these creatures have not been gone for 65 million years. And I like what he said. He says, I think there's something wrong with that story. And that's a major understatement, to put it mildly. But that's not only that. We also find it in stonework. One of the interesting discoveries they found is in Peru, the Ica River And that was been brought to light the first half of the 20th century. Of course, they've covered that up. Most people haven't even heard of it. And what happened was there was a flood, and the flood from the Ica River eroded part of the way the mountainside and exposed a cave. Well, in that cave, they found thousands and thousands of stones with ancient drawings on them. And some of them clearly depicted man living and interacting with dinosaurs. They have scenes carved on them. There's thousands of these burial stones. About a third of them is pretty disgusting pictures, but about a third of them have pictures of dinosaurs on them. Rather artistic rendition of dinosaurs. And dare I say, folks, you have to see with your own eyes. This isn't just some scribbling thing. I mean, these are, you could put it up to a children's coloring book or book about dinosaurs, and they look verbatim. Okay, they're that good. In fact, some of them picture dinosaurs with frills on them that we didn't even know until recently particular dinosaurs had these frills on them, but they got it right from the start. Okay? And you could also see dinosaurs with interacting with humans on these, which is the other one. Sometimes humans are riding them. Sometimes humans are attacking them. There's all kinds of different species. But here's the point. These people that were seeing dinosaurs were interacting with dinosaurs 2,000 to 3,000 years ago. And again, folks, what are we told by evolution? We don't even know what dinosaurs look like except for the last 150 years. Okay? That's crazy. Okay? And then you think, well, the scientists are going down there to investigate. No, we also expose that Dr. Cabrera, who's made this sign, he has invited the scientists to come down and check it out for years and years, an open invitation to the scientific communities in hopes that they will go ahead and validate. Quote, many scientists are aware of the Ica stones, but most refuse to investigate them.
And, of course, if you are a scientist and you were to come out and to say, you know, why, of course, evolution is a lie, that would be the end of your career. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a conspiracy against God. It's within the scientific community. And if you want to survive in the scientific community, you've got to cover up the lie. And it is a lie. And if you see this series on Fearful Creation, you'll be convinced that there is a cover-up. Well, Pastor Belli, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, you know, one of the things that we share at the very end, and this is an interview with, as far as I know, evolutionists themselves, and they admit that there's a conspiracy going on. And one of them is a couple of researchers, Michael Cramo and Dr. Richard Thompson.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.
And because she told the truth, why her career was destroyed. And this is how science works today. Unfortunately, this is a situation where there was a cover-up. Why? Because there's an intense hatred of God. The last thing they want you to know is the Bible is true, that evolution is a lie, and today, if you want to see this 10-part section or 10-part or even just the first part of it, the fearful creation, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. We've got a great book called A Tornado in a Junkyard, written by our good friend James Perloff. It goes into the lie of evolution, and we have other information if you want to get more on it. Of course, we have Pastor Billy Crone's other set on the final countdown going into the prophetic things that are going on. Once again, that's 10 DVDs, and then we, of course, have his DVDs on, there's 4 DVDs in a set on RFID identification. All sorts of fascinating footage, actually, much of it put out by the people who produce the RFID chips that they want to implant in literally everything in the world so they can monitor everything. I wonder why they want to do that. Does it have anything to do with the idea that one day you'll either buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast or be known by the number of his name? Ladies and gentlemen, the prophetic things that are going on today are so amazing. And so you can get the DVDs on Final Creation, Part 1 or Part 2 or both together at a reduced price. And then, of course, the 4 tapes on RFID. And, of course, we do have, of course, Dr. Catherine Albrecht's book on spy ships on RFID. We have a 4-tape set on spy ships. They're all available by calling Radio Liberty at 1-800-544-8927. We are involved in a spiritual battle for the minds and hearts of mankind. And we are being lied to by the media. The media is controlled. There are 5 major media outlets, possibly 6. And they're all controlled by people affiliated with the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. And you go right down the list, you know, starting with Time Warner and then Bertelsmann and then there's Viacom, which controls CBS and Disney and Murdoch and then the people who bought GE, they're all tied into this effort to conceal the truth. How do they do it? Well, you need to get the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence We Carry, and it was written back in 1958, but it tells how the great tax-exempt foundations took over the educational system in this country. And I know when I went through college, I was indoctrinated in evolution, and I came out, and I really believed in evolution. And I mean, I was so smart, I'd learned all the Cambrian layers, and you know, and but I really wasn't. I was educated far beyond my intelligence. It took me years to unlearn what I learned in college. And tragically, that's what's going on today. And just that our schools are not used to educate. They're used to indoctrinate. And of course, so much of this is to question the validity of the Bible. And so many of our young people go to college and they come out atheists or agnostics. And that's what it's intended to be. That's the purpose of education today, because there's a conspiracy against God. Well, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness. It'll begin to educate you as to what's going on. Of course, we suggest you go to my website, RadioLiberty.com, and read our newsletters. We've actually put together a 3 pamphlets, each one about 50 pages, on the occult hierarchy that rules the world. And there is an occult hierarchy. We also, of course, have other things that you'll find fascinating, and we do hope you'll want to get them. Simply go to our webpage, RadioLiberty.com, and look at all the books and the DVDs and all the various things that we have there that will help you to better understand what is really going on today. The spiritual battle is being fought for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Certainly, if you're on our website, you can listen to our programs. You can actually listen if you have We telephone with unlimited minutes. You can listen to our GCN programs there and 24 hours a day. That's the 3 to 4 program we do every day, and it's being rebroadcast on telephone. And, of course, you can get our archives and MP3, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They were my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Stephen Frank. Hi, Stephen. How are you doing?
I am doing super. This is a great day in America.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's certainly exciting times, and basically we're going to see terrible things happening in the weeks and months that lie ahead. But, of course, we're going to a crisis situation. Two outcomes. One, we're going to have a terrible depression, and people are going to lose their property and their homes. But, of course, we may come out at the far end as free people if this whole corrupt system simply collapses and we can expose the Brotherhood of Darkness and try the treasonous people who are so intent upon destroying our nation. Or we may, of course, do nothing and the other side will win, and if we survive, we and our children will simply live as slaves. And you're going to have to decide whether you want to get involved in this spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, or just sit on the sidelines and wait and see what happens. But right here, of course, a lot of this battle is going to be fought in California, which today is the 8th largest economy in the world. Of course, when Arnold Schwarzenegger took over, we were the 6th largest economy in the world, but Arnold has done a great job. He was recruited, of course, by Lord Rothschild and Warren Buffett to run for the governorship of California. He had to be checked out by Lord Rothschild, and you can go up on the internet and see the pictures, they are available, of Lord Rothschild and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Warren Buffett all laughing together. What are they laughing at? Why, they're laughing at stupid people like you, ladies and gentlemen, who don't understand how the world really works. And there is an elite that run the world, and of course, behind that are powerful demonic and satanic forces. When you understand that, it makes sense. But right here in California, we're having some very real problems today because, of course, we have a massive budget deficit and we have a new governor come in. And Steve, I'm going to let you tell us what's going on. So we've got massive pension deficit, somewhere between $500 billion and $750 billion in budget deficits and no way to pay them. I'm talking about a pension deficits. Pick up the story and tell our listeners how bad things are.
Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned Warren Buffett at the beginning of this as one of the people behind Arnold Schwarzenegger. Most people don't remember that Warren Buffett was the chief economic advisor to Arnold Schwarzenegger when Schwarzenegger ran for the recall in 2003. And they had to put Buffett in a closet because Buffett came out publicly saying that we have to get rid of Proposition 13, which is the proposition that saves homes in California. Now, what else is interesting is that Warren Buffett for years now has been campaigning nationally that taxes are too low. And so here you have Arnold Schwarzenegger's chief economic advisor, in name if not in fact, actually in fact not in name, and this is a guy who believes that nobody pays enough taxes, including himself. Of course, if he truly believed that, he could send the federal government or the state government of Nebraska, where he lives, more money every year if he wanted to, but of course he doesn't. He just wants you to pay more taxes. Now, today is a very, even though I opened up with this is a great day in America, and I do believe in optimism and the Constitution and that things will be righted, but today has to be one of the worst days in the history of this country. As you already know, the Barack Obama has tried to take over and has taken over our health care, made that a federal monopoly. He's taken over the banks and made those and the financial institutions and made those a...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Steve.
And so Obama has taken over the financial institutions and made those owned or controlled by the federal government. Obama has taken over automotive plants and companies like Chrysler and General Motors and made them part of the government. Today, thanks to his appointments to the Federal Communications Commission, the Federal Communications Commission nationalized the Internet today. And the Internet is no longer free, it is no longer private, it is no longer run by the people. Barack Obama has stolen the Internet from the people of this country and of this world and has now determined that the federal government is going to control our Internet. Now, let me give you an example of what that means. Some people buy, and I'm sure, Dr. Stan, you've heard this term, the smartphone. You know, you have the iPhone and several similar phones like that. And a lot of phones have what are called applications. Now, my wife has an application on her phone that allows us to find restaurants that Guy Fieri of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives recommends. You just put in a zip code and you find the great restaurant that he recommends. That's kind of a nice thing. You could get applications to show restaurants, hotels, sporting events, a whole bunch of stuff. Now, under this new takeover of the Internet, before AT&T, Verizon, or Sprint, or any other phone company allows you to buy an application from your phone, which is your free choice to do so, or if you don't want to buy one, you don't have to, or use one, now the federal government has taken over which applications can be sold and which can't. They will make a determination of what products can be sold. Truly the nationalization of the government. Now, why do I bring this up? Because within 2 days of this happening, 2 days ago, Hugo Chavez down in Venezuela, the socialist dictator totalitarian, took over that nation's Internet, and his government now controls the Internet and what could be put on there, what can't be put on there. And so I see a very close correlation between Hugo Chavez, his actions in Venezuela, and Barack Obama's actions here in the United States. Both are dictators who have taken over massive industries, financial institutions, and now they've decided they will decide.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Steve was just talking about, of course, what President Obama has done. He took over the automotive industry. He gave, of course, Chrysler. He gave Chrysler. No, didn't put it up for bids. He gave Chrysler to Fiat, and so they could open up new plants in Mexico and in Italy. Why would he give Chrysler? I mean, you might sell Chrysler. But they didn't. They simply gave it, and the reason they gave it this fellow over there in Italy is because he's a member of the Trilateral Commission, and you want to help your friends. And of course, remember, Barack Obama is simply, in my estimation, as a puppet for the people who put him in office, who surround him, who tell him every day what to do. Then Christie pointed out that they nationalized the banks, and certainly the banks, a lot of them have paid back the money, but the federal government is still telling them that they should not be giving large bonuses to the people there and the CEOs. Now, I think that the bonuses are obscene, but I do not believe the government should be telling corporations how much money to pay their CEOs or how much of a bonus to give to them, even though morally they may be wrong. That's no business of the government. Of course, they've taken over health care, and that today, why, of course, they announced that the FCC is going to control the Internet and is going to begin to extend its greasy little hands over that, because, of course, the last thing that what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, people who really run things behind the scenes, they want is for people to be able to hear the truth. And certainly they can control the radio, but ordinarily we can say pretty well what we want to on the radio, but down the line I'm sure that'll be limited, but they want to be able to control the Internet, because this is such a great means of getting information out, and we have a number of people circulating information. Of course, the government's up there. They've got their agents putting out disinformation and phony material and hiring people like Hal Turner, of course, who was on, who was an FBI agent and who was working within the conservative talk radio, and he was putting up YouTubes and all sorts of things. Frank disinformation. They do that to confuse people. But there's a lot of good information there as well. So I share your concern, Stephen. I mean, the fact that they would even think about wanting to regulate the Internet. But the trouble is, too many people are learning too much.
Well, and for a year or so now, the federal government has been talking to YouTube and demanding that certain categories, mostly political, YouTubes be taken down, even without this takeover of the Internet. And YouTube has agreed to do it. What you didn't mention when you talked about Chrysler being sold out to Fiat, you know, we bought General Motors, which is government motors, and the federal government gave them billions of dollars, and they took about $8 billion of that money to build a new automotive plant in China, not the United States. Money that was supposed to be used to create employment in the United States instead went to China, and of course, as your listeners know, the Chinese government owes over $1 trillion worth of bonds of the U.S. government.
I think it was so interesting. Barack Obama really didn't lie. He just said, and we're going to give this money because we want them, General Motors, to produce jobs. He didn't mention jobs in the United States. It's sort of like when Henry Paulson got his $700 billion and gave it to the banks so that they would, of course, lend it out and create jobs. Well, they did lend it out, and they did create jobs.
Well,
in China, and in India, and Dubai, and in Spain. They were lending there, but they would not lend here in the United States. And you have to ask yourself, why? Unless, of course, they do have an agenda, and they're all in on it. They just don't want the American people to know. But go ahead, Stephen.
Well, you mentioned the word lies. You claim that, and correctly, that Barack Obama lied about the auto takeover.
Well, he didn't really lie. It was simply he said they were going to create jobs, but he didn't say where the jobs were.
Well, I call that a lie.
Okay.
You're
more blunt than I am. Go ahead.
I'm too old not to be blunt. And so, but that word lie is very important today, because tomorrow the U.S. Senate is going to vote for the START Treaty, which, if we approve that as written, the United States may no longer use nuclear weapons to defend itself. That's part of the preamble of the START Treaty. Now, people notice that, senators notice that, and Barack Obama sent a letter to every senator saying, no, that's not what it means. Trust me that we will still be able to defend ourselves with nuclear weapons if that comes to pass. This is the same man that lied about the money in the stimulus, lied about the death panels in the health care program, lied about the Internet takeover by the FCC. Why in the world are we putting our very safety, on the line based on a letter written by Barack Obama, who is, there used to be a guy on Saturday Night Live, a comedian by the name of John Lovitz, and his shtick was to tell a story and then say, oh, that was a lie, and he, that was his thing, and he was funny, but it was comedy, and so we could laugh at it and didn't hurt anybody. When Barack Obama lies, people get hurt and people get dead. Or as the left would say, Obama lies and people die. And the START Treaty is literally, as Senator Graham of South Carolina noted on TV tonight, he noted that this disallows us from using our weapons. If somebody shoots nuclear weapons at us, based on this treaty, we're not allowed to use nuclear weapons on them. Now, I would hope, under those circumstances, the President of the United States, whoever it may be, says, you know, treaties are just a piece of paper, and we're going to defend America. Of course, if that president was Barack Obama, we know he won't protect America because he hasn't.
Well, I think it's really so funny. You know, basically, of course, the Soviets have over 1,000 nuclear missiles and warheads, probably many more than that, and that's just the intercontinental. I mean, they have 10 times as many strategic nuclear weapons as we do, 10 times that we're talking about many strategic weapons as we do. And basically, George Bush, the great conservative, was going to defend America and put up an anti-ballistic missile system, which he did. He built it up in Canada. First of all, it didn't work. It was not no explosion. Explosive warheads simply had to, you know, hit a bullet with a bullet, almost impossible to do. And but he put six of them. So we had six anti-ballistic missiles up there to fend off at least 1,000 intercontinental ballistic missiles. Now, the American people applauded this. You know, you sometimes wonder, certainly, do people ever stop and think, I mean, how are six anti-ballistic missiles, which don't have explosive warheads on them, incidentally, the Russians do have explosive warheads, small nuclear weapons there, you explode it in the vicinity of the missile, it's taken out. We have to hit a missile with a missile. They know ours aren't going to work. I mean, so basically, how could possibly six anti-ballistic missiles take out 1,000 incoming weapons? But everybody cheered George Bush because, of course, he was such a good conservative, a good Republican, and he was going to defend America with six anti-ballistic missiles. Now, certainly, I'm no person to cheer Barack Obama, this new treaty. Everybody is going to limit even our ability to build any sort of an anti-ballistic missile system. People have forgotten we had an excellent anti-ballistic missile system back in the early 1970s. It was dismantled under Jimmy Carter because it was just too expensive to keep up. It would cost $1 billion a year. We'd already invested $20, $30 billion building it, but it was going to cost $1 billion a year, so we just, in the name of, of trying to balance the budget, we disbanded this anti-ballistic missile system, which left it was nothing until George Bush heroically built six anti-ballistic missile systems in Alaska, and nobody has ever pointed this out. I share your concern about this new treaty. It's a disaster, and I'm going to get Ambassador Hank Cooper on my program sometime next week. He's a personal friend, and he actually negotiated some of these SALT treaties in the past, and we'll get his opinion on it. But certainly there's so many bad things happening, Steve, but let's get on.
Well, let me go one step further how bad this treaty is. Under this treaty, we will be allowed 1,550 nuclear weapons to defend ourselves with, and that may or may not be the right number. The problem is, under the treaty, we're not allowed to test them to see if they actually work. So Barack Obama, in the letter that I mentioned before, said it is, to quote him, his intention to spend $87 million over the billion dollars over the next 10 years testing these 1,550 weapons. The problem is the word intention. Every intention he's had has been a bad one that is opposed to the economic freedom and the personal freedom of Americans. So why should we believe him when he says that is his intention to spend $87 billion on testing over 10 years? What if he doesn't? What are we going to do? Say you're a liar? Well, we have weapons that are not usable?
Well, I think it's very interesting that it was just this last week when the administration announced that we could survive a nuclear attack, and it was on the front pages of the New York Times. It said, you know, if there is a nuclear attack in Washington, D.C., in New York City, do not panic. If there is a nuclear attack in, this is true, it was almost humorous if it hadn't been so sad. It said, you know, there's a nuclear attack in New York City. Don't panic. Go to a large building. You'll be much safer in a large building. And go into the building and stay there until the officials tell you it's safe to come out. Well, of course, you can imagine what's going to happen, that nuclear attack in New York City. No water, no food, no nothing. And you're to sit there until the officials tell you it's time to come out. They say the worst thing you could do is run, and I certainly agree with that. But why would they suddenly make an announcement like that at this time when we're told there's never going to be another war, nuclear war is unthinkable? Why is it that we're doing everything today we can to build up the nuclear capacity of communist China? Why are we transferring the wherewithal to build the weapons, nuclear weapons, strategic weapons, become one of the strongest nations of the world? Go back and look what happened in Germany in the years leading up to the Second World War, when General Motors and Ford they were over in Germany building the weapons for Adolf Hitler. And what are General Motors and Ford doing? Why, they're two of the largest automobile producers in communist China today. I'm sure it's just coincidence. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Steve, go right ahead.
Well, you know, we've been talking about national and international effects.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, And with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Now, the man who wrote the report, he said he had a PhD, but he got it from a post office box. They know it's fraudulent. They know he fixed it. He actually cribbed the figures. They're totally fraudulent, but they have refused to do anything about it. They're going, of course, to have to replace every fire truck and ambulance, any diesel, if there are any diesel ambulances, any diesel vehicles are going to have to be replaced here in California. What is it, 2015, something like that?
No later than 2015.
Okay, fine. Well, you go ahead, Steve.
And the worst part is they already know that the guy was off by 340%. Now, we're not talking about a percent or two. We're talking about 340%, and they're still creating these regulations and now are demanding that they be enforced, even though they know it was done by a crook and that the reports and the scientific studies were off by, in their own admittance, 340%, and yet we're going to kill the jobs and the economy of California based on this corruption.
Well, if you wanted to destroy the state, you couldn't do a better job. That AB 32 is sure a job killer. I mean, people, this is one of the first times we've ever seen where the population's latest census shows that the population California isn't increasing. It's always been increasing, but suddenly the increase has been really slowed, I don't think we've gone into negative yet because of all the illegal immigrants coming in. But as far as tax-paying people and industries and certainly people of wealth, they're just leaving California.
Well, let me give you a couple of statistics to show how bad it is. According to the newest census results, which came out today, we have almost 38 million people. In the last 10 years, our state has grown 9.8%. Mostly productive people have left and illegal aliens have come in. But here's the kicker. We have the approximate same number of jobs today that we did 10 years ago in the state of California. So even though we've grown by 9.8%, jobs have not grown, which explains why our official unemployment is 12.6%, and the real unemployment is closer to 25%.
Well, I think we've got a real problem here in California, and because I think that what's going to happen, well, I'm going to let you tell our listeners what's going to happen when Governor Jerry Brown puts in his budget. I think it's going to be a budget that's going to begin to talk about closing the prisons. We're going to have to close the prisons and release the prisoners. And of course, if you don't want to have a prisoner sleeping in your bed at nighttime, why, you're going to just have to vote for higher taxes. I think he's going to do everything he can to totally disrupt the economy of our state, to force and frighten the people into voting for more taxes. What are your thoughts?
Well, thanks to Arnold Schwarzenegger, close to 40,000 vicious prisoners are going to be getting an early release. But there was another scandal this past week that came to light that actually started maybe a year ago. Under the terms of a court decision, a guy by the name of Clark Kelso is now the czar of the prisons, and he's in charge of the health care, among other things. And so he's been giving out contracts to folks, and has grown the cost of health care for the prisoners under his watch has grown four or five times in the last three and a half years. So some newspaper asked for a copy of the contracts under the Freedom of Information Act, and Kelso is refusing to release any documentation on the contracts that he's given out. He is refusing to answer the question if there's any conflicts of interest in these, if he owns stock in any of the companies or a share of the companies that he gave these contracts to, because he's refusing to even tell us what companies have been given the contracts. This is total, absolute fraud on the part of Clark Kelso. And you would think that the Attorney General of the state of California, Jerry Brown, would have done something about this and demanded to see the contracts and open them, because Clark Kelso is refusing to show them to anybody, even the courts. And, of course, Jerry Brown's not going to do that because he wants in on all this when he becomes governor. And not only will we be closing prisons, but we're going to be shipping people out of them quicker than you could bat your eyes, because he wants to cut the cost of prisons in the state. And he prefers fewer people in prison and more criminals on the street, which has always been his position as a career politician.
And, of course, I think the thing is, really what he wants to do is create a totally lawless situation so the people will be forced, you know, to go ahead and vote for higher taxes. I can promise you, as you watch television, you're going to be seeing weeping welfare mothers and weeping children and weeping crippled people and weeping blind people, telling them, oh, my goodness, what a terrible it is that they're cutting back on everything. We'll be right back. Right ahead, Stephen.
Well, we only touched the surface on what Jerry Brown is going to do. You're right. On January 10th, the new governor, is going to present a budget that he says is very austere, and that he promised educators at a meeting a couple weeks ago that when they see the budget, they will cry. And so his goal is to make so many people angry that they will demand that taxes go up. And how will he do that? He is planning a special election to raise taxes sometime in the end of May, early June of 2011, a special election, and allow the people to vote to raise the taxes. Now, here's his problem. We have approximately 40% of the homes in this state are underwater, which means the people who live in the homes actually owe more money on the houses than they than the house is worth. So they're underwater. And in the state, it's approximately 40% statewide. Those people are not going to vote to raise their own taxes when they can't even afford their own mortgages at this point. And there are other people in that category. As we go through the spring of 2011 leading up to that election, you are going to see a massive number of city and county and some state, but mostly city and county employees and school district employees laid off, furloughed. There's one city that's going for a two-week furlough, which means no work, no pay for 2 weeks. That's a major cut in salary. I've noticed that all the unions around the state appear to be taking an approximate 5% pay cut, and eventually these union members are going to be wondering, why are we paying our bribes to work for a union that gets our pay cut, our benefits cut, and some of us get fired? So I think this thing may backfire on Jerry Brown.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Stephen is talking about the fact that Governor Brown is going to put in a budget, and it's going to just cut everything. It's going to cut education, it's going to cut the prisons, they're going to start turning the prisoners loose, it's going to cut back on law enforcement, it's going to cut back on money going to the local communities, it's going to cut back on welfare, and basically he's going to create so much chaos, he hopes that things will be so bad that, and then of course, with the help of the media, and believe me, the media here in California works one way. Now, I'm not saying that Meg Whitman would have been a great governor, since she came from Goldman Sachs, and she certainly didn't treat her employee very well. But basically, of course, you saw literally all the newspapers in California, at least everyone that I saw, backed Sherry Brown. And you could be sure that they're all going to work in concert right along with television to just convince us what terrible things are, and certainly the weeping mothers and the weeping fathers and the weeping, you know, unwed mothers and the weeping elderly, and we're going to see the weeping teachers and the weeping children, and talk about how we've just got to have, you know, more government, more money, and of course all of it's going to be designed, coordinated, because the media is controlled, to get the people to vote for higher taxes. Would you think that might be what's going to happen, Steve?
No, absolutely, that's what's going to happen. They're going to put on these tearjerker TV ads, but I think the other side is going to put on TV ads of the parents of the school kids saying, do you want me to lose my job so that Nancy's teacher can get a pay raise? In fact, there's in La Habra, which is in Orange County, the school district union went on strike because they wanted more money. And no one cared. And that's the point I'm about to make. Up in Oakland, a few months ago, they fired 80 cops. That's a large number of cops. And guess what? More guns were sold to private citizens, and crime went down. Oakland is about to fire another 70 police, and my guess that thanks to the Second Amendment, more people will defend themselves, and crime will go down even further.
Well, you know, basically, there is this one community where they made it a law that everybody had to have a gun. Now, I don't think everybody did, but the perception was everybody was armed, and of course, crime went down because criminals do not want to go into a home where there's a weapon and they might get shot. They're smart. I mean, they don't want to take a chance on taking a bullet. And so basically, the idea that the population is armed causes people to be frightened and not to try to break into a home. But go right ahead, Steve.
You know, and I'm sure you saw on TV the down in Broward County, I can't remember the city it was in, but a gunman held the superintendent and the school board members at their desks or at the podium with a gun and started shooting at them. That wouldn't have happened if there was somebody in the audience who had a gun and could have shot the guy before he shot at the board members.
Well, actually, that's what did happen. He got shot, but then he ended up taking his own life. But somebody did have a gun.
But that was a security guard rather than a person in the audience. If one of the school board members had a gun and knew how to use it, they could have shot the guy before he shot off around. Or somebody in the audience, if they didn't have to wait for the security guard to get there, whose job it was to protect them, and he did the job well, there's no doubt about it, but why should we have to wait for a security guard? Why don't we just protect ourselves and we don't get into these problems?
Well, I hope that maybe what will happen is out of all of this, we'll get a completely new state assembly, and we can get some legislation that will allow the people to be able to defend themselves. The people we have there now don't want people to defend themselves. They're moving, doing everything they can to create chaos in California, and I think they're doing a pretty good job of it.
Well, they're doing it all over the country. Happily, there's a university down in Texas that just voted last week to allow the students on campus to carry guns to protect themselves. And you've seen a lot of these campus shootings, and now we have a campus in Texas where the kids can protect themselves.
Well, basically, when you have this legislation and the criminals know that there are no guns on on any campus, high school or college, they know that every high school and college in this country, with exception of one in Texas, is a shooting gallery. You can go in there and kill all the people you want to, and you don't have to worry that anybody's going to be there until you wreak terrible havoc. Why would you create a situation where people couldn't defend themselves unless you wanted to create a condition of chaos?
Well, I have an old friend, and maybe you remember him, Senator Bill Richardson, from Arcadia in the Pasadena.
Oh, how could I ever forget Bill Richardson? One of the great senators here of all time.
That's absolutely true, and he's still alive and kicking and still going out hunting. His son-in-law is a good friend of mine. Anyway, Senator Bill Richardson used to have a saying, Stan, if you don't believe in guns, that's no problem. Just put a sign in front of your door, this house has no guns. And that way, they'll come to your house and rob you rather than trying to come to my house. And I would challenge anybody who is so opposed to guns to prove that they're opposed to guns and put a sign like that on their front door. This home has no guns.
Sounds like a great idea. And the other thing I think we really ought to do is take all the security guards away from the State Assembly and the State Senate.
Oh, yeah, certainly, especially those that don't want us to have guns. Why should they have protection like that? You know, Dianne Feinstein, probably the most corrupt member of the U.S. Senate, without a doubt, and she's in the class of Bernie Madoff because of all the shenanigans she's pulled in favor of companies involving her husband, Richard Blum. Anyway, she carries a gun, but she doesn't want you to carry a gun.
Well, that was because she felt that her life was in danger. She did that when she was the mayor of San Francisco. She gives hypocrisy a bad name.
Yeah, she still carries the gun.
Does she still carry it?
She's not the mayor of San Francisco. And all of us, periodically, as you may know, I live in Simi Valley, and periodically I have to go to downtown Los Angeles for a meeting, and I kid my clients. I say to them, you know, I get hazardous duty pay to go to downtown L.A., and quite frankly, there are portions of L.A., Oakland, San Francisco, I would not go to unless I was protected.
Well, I think, unfortunately, Steve, I think it's going to get a lot worse. I think we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis in this country. And certainly what we need to do, of course, is try to have, you know, the police on the side of the people and basically, of course, working together to try to maintain law and order. But I think people are going to have to be prepared to protect their own homes, unfortunately. Basically, if there's an invasion, why, you can call the police, but they may not be there for 10 minutes and you could be awfully dead before then. So
The way I put it, Dr. Stan, is when seconds count, the police are only minutes away.
Good point.
And so I truly believe that every one of us has a constitutional right and a God-given right to protect ourselves, that we don't have to become victims because the state believes we should be victims. I'm not going to be a victim.
Well, I would just simply point out, if you're out there in the listening audience and you are concerned, we carry a line, I hate to put this out, a V-line, lock boxes. They're accepted by the state, and you can have a loaded gun in them right next to you, or right next to where I sit. Very often there's a loaded gun in a V-line lock box. If you want to know more about it, give us a call. We think that's a great thing, I think, everybody today, because we are moving into a whole different world. There is an organized effort. Those of you who heard me say this before, but we've read what Richard Haass of the Council on Foreign Relations says. We've read what Mortimer Zuckerman of the Trilateral Commission and CFR says. And they're both telling us that we're moving into a period of chaos, of austerity, of lower living standards. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, of course, you're going to come an increasing tempo of violence here, because after all, we've destroyed faith in God. People are not responsible to anything. If you want something, you're going to have to take it, and unfortunately, this leads to a senseless crime. And now that they're going to start releasing prisoners here in California, you're going to have to start thinking about how you protect yourself. Well, we have I hate to put in a plug, but we have the V-Line lockbox, and we think we've got several of them right here in our home. If anybody's thinking of coming to visit us, why, they are readily available. You can be in them in about 20 seconds. Go right ahead, Stephen.
Well, and of course, anybody who lives along the border in San Diego, who listens to your show, or in Arizona or Texas. I mean, they've seen how aggressive the drug cartels have gotten, that the drug cartels actually shot and killed a U.S. border guard, and so and a rancher a few months ago, and other people. It is not safe to be living along the border unless you are well equipped with weapons to protect yourself, because the drug cartels use AK-47s and more high-powered weapons. And that's what we're facing. And I love the way the media says, well, Barack Obama has put 1,200 National Guardsmen along the border. Now, think about it. The border from Texas to Arizona to California is 1,400 miles, so he's only put one person per mile. But remember, they're not going to be there 24/7. They're only going to be one-third of the time. So he doesn't have – he may have 1,200 National Guardsmen, and very few of them are actually on the border, and they're not allowed to have proper weapons to fight. And, you know, a mile between a guard is nothing.
Well, and really, so, they're not along the border. Basically, they're way back from the border. They're not doing much of anything. It's all psychological. I've talked to Glenn Spencer, who flies the border regularly, and he says these people are so far back that, you know, they are absolutely no good. But it's part of political theory. It's part of the idea. We're doing something, ladies and gentlemen. We've built a fence all along there. I've talked to people who said they built a fence. Yeah, a lot of it, probably about, you know, the vast majority of it is about 3 or 4 feet high. Yeah, 3 or 4 feet high. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not imaginary. Why would you build a 4-foot fence to try to keep people out of the country? Well, because we're supposed to build a fence, and basically we can say we built the fence, even though it's only 4 feet high. They've only got maybe 35 miles of good fence there along that entire border.
And, of course, remember, the U.S. Department of Interior has put signs 80 miles north of the border in Arizona telling Americans to stay out of the area 80 miles from the border. We have ceded part of Arizona, not to Mexico, but to a drug cartel, 80 miles of Arizona to a drug cartel. That's how good a defender of America Barack Obama is.
Well, I think people have to understand that the part of this whole globalist program is to encourage illegal immigration. They're encouraging them. I mean, if you could come here from Mexico and get free medical care and food stamps and free lodging and free education and free health care, why wouldn't you come? I mean, we're doing everything we can to encourage the people to come. Why? Because we want, of course, to lower the wage level and impoverish the American people. That's why we're encouraging people to come in here with H-1B visas to take American jobs. That's why we're offshoring our jobs to India, and so answering service, reading CT scans, engineering, architectural work, all being done over in India. And then, of course, while we're offshoring our manufacturing to Malaysia and certainly to China, we've sent over our textile industry, our electronic industry, our steel industry, our automotive industry, our aluminum industry. We're going to start building all of our light bulbs over there. Federal law, we have to build we can't have incandescent bulbs built in America. We've got to have fluorescent bulbs actually built by General Electric over in China. Doesn't it make it just feel really good to realize that our leaders are so concerned about raising living standards throughout the world?
But well, of course, you know, you talk about the H-1 visas. Something is happening tomorrow in Congress that affects that your audience and very few people know about. I'm sure you've heard about the Republicans stopping the $7 billion going to the health care of the first responders. And no one understood what the issue is about. It is not that the Republicans don't want the first responders to get the health care. They just want the money to come from a source that it doesn't raise the debt of the United States and the deficit of the United States. So the Democrats have come up with something very interesting. The way they're going to pay for that, in part, is by tripling and quadrupling the fees for Indians and people of other nations to pay for their permits to come into this country on the H-1B visa. And also, they have doubled and tripled taxes for these people. So they, the Democrats are going to say, and you'll hear it on TV tomorrow, we've responded to the Republicans, and we have this as a pay-as-you-go plan. We now have the whole plan paid for, and everyone's going to say, hurrah, hurrah. Well, Dr. Stan, there's only one problem. Those fees are set in a treaty, in an agreement with India and other nations. And we can't just haphazardly violate that those treaties and agreements. So while the Democrats are rah-rahing that they have paid for this, they actually are lying when they say that, because those increased fees and taxes still have to be negotiated. And what happens when the Indian government and the other governments involved say, nope, we're not going to allow a raise in the taxes? Then what happens? And at that point, we have an international incident between the United States and these other nations, and the Democrats will say, well, but we got this paid for, and we continue to pay money we don't have, when they should have done it honestly. And Dr. Stan, these are the little things that add up to the big things of the duplicity of the Democrat Party and Barack Obama.
But remember, the Republicans have played all the same games. I mean, basically, I would like to say the Republicans have white hats, and Democrats have back hats. The Republicans gave us the biggest deficits ever recorded up until Barack Obama came. I mean, under George Bush, they gave us massive deficits, and they gave us a war over there, and they objected to any independent investigation of what happened on September 11th. I mean, I think that certainly, I put a, basically, Republicans talk a good game. Certainly, I'm all in favor of cutting the deficit. I'm all in favor of cutting taxes. But you can't cut taxes and increase spending, which is exactly what they agreed to when they, of course, they extended the unemployment benefits, and then they, you know, massive cuts in taxes, certainly cutting back the Social Security taxes, you know, so by 2%. They say, well, people are going to have money, and they're going to spend that money, and they really are, probably. Most of them are going to spend the money, and they're going to go buy a television set or an iPod or you know, a DVD player or some new clothes, and they're all made overseas. Not going to help America's jobs. It's the same old thing. It's going to create jobs. Going to create jobs in China, going to create jobs in Malaysia, going to create jobs in India, but it's not going to create jobs in America. Why would we want, of course, to give money so people go out and buy things that are made in other countries? Why would we want to have people buy things that enrich other countries but not enrich the United States? We have almost a $40 billion a month deficit, a trade deficit, thanks, of course, to free trade and globalization. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Steve, go right ahead. We got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I would just like to add to this that the Republicans who are going to vote for
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
News.com and click on the subscription. It is free, as Dr. Stan said, and it does come out two or three times per day, 7 days a week.
Well, God bless. Thanks very much for everything, and certainly have a wonderful Christmas, and we'll talk to you next week.
Well, Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Stephen Frank, and I hope you enjoy the program. And I always enjoy Stephen. He's got a lot of great information. We're in real trouble here in California, but we're in real trouble all across the country because the Brotherhood of Darkness that controls this country is intent upon lowering our living standards and impoverishing the American people. That's what the program is all about, and they figure that the poor people and impoverished people and hungry people are going to go right along with their plan for the one world government of the new world religion and, of course, the new world leader. It's all part of a long-range plan. And you'll certainly want to see my November letter. We'll have it out very soon. Or he said you can go and read the editorial by Morton Zuckerman, CFR, TFR. He's the editor of USA News, USA News and World Report. It's in the last issue of USA News and World Report. Read what Mr. Zuckerman says about what the problem is and what's going to happen. And certainly if you can get a hold of the latest issue of Foreign Affairs, November, December issue of Foreign Affairs, Richard Hass and Roger Altman have written an article on the economy, and they will tell you exactly what it's all about, where we are going, and we are going into poverty for the American people. The American State Department destroyed the country of Rhodesia. We call it Zimbabwe today, but they installed a Marxist communist thug there, and he has simply driven half the people out of the nation. The rest of the people are living in poverty, and many of them are starving. We destroyed the structure of the society over in Baghdad. Today, you get an hour of water and maybe 3 hours of electricity a day, if you're lucky, in Baghdad. Was a first world nation, a first world country, before the Americans went in to liberate it. When, Saddam Hussein was in power, the Christians were there. They thrived. Now that Saddam Hussein is gone, the Christians have gone too, because we've installed a new constitution under Sharia law. Why would the American government put a constitution into Iraq under Sharia law? You have to ask that, but they've certainly done a good job of driving the Christians out of Iraq, and these poor, unfortunate people really have no place to go. And some of them are living today in Jordan. Most of them are living in Jordan today because, of course, the American government destroyed the security that these people had in Iraq. And we got rid of Saddam Hussein, and we created chaos. Why would you do something like that? Unintentionally. And I think this is all sort of a blueprint for what lies ahead for America. You have electricity all the time? Well, enjoy it while you can. I hope and pray that I'm wrong, but I think we're moving into very, very difficult times. You better make preparations for it. But understand, behind this are wicked and evil people. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. If you haven't seen our three pamphlets set on the occult hierarchy, that's the occult hierarchy, you need to get it. And Sydney, if you haven't, Sydney, or read the book America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus, it's available from Radio Liberty. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Read about how the Nazi sympathizers, people from Byelorussia who worked for the SS and killed 2 million Jews. Killed 2 million Jews in Byelorussia were allowed to come and retire comfortably in New Jersey. And you've never heard about it. Learn about, of course, the rat line that took all the Nazis to South America. Tens of thousands of them. The government knew where they were and let them retire. Why would you do something like that unintentionally? Learn about how American corporations built the war materials for Adolf Hitler during the war. All of the CEOs, 150 of them, from American corporations were arrested and then released, and all the information has been suppressed from the American people. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 21 December 2010, the winter solstice. That's right. If you got up early, you may have seen a bit of a red moon. If you didn't, well, it's kind of over now. A little bit cloudy in many, many places in the country to see it. However, I guess it was pretty impressive. Anyway, I thank you very much for joining us on the Power Hour today. Lots of news, most of it very chilling. And I do mean both by temperature and by giving you goosebumps, because it's not a pretty world out there. More attempts at this season to take away your freedom, all in the name of... But it's post 9/11. Because of what happened on 9/11, we have to prepare. Fox News itself today said, well, we have to give up a little bit of our freedom for security. We must trust the FBI. They've always done the right thing by us in the past. Oh, really? Perhaps you didn't hear the show yesterday regarding the Project COINTELPRO. Does that ring a bell, federal government? So I thank you very much for joining us, wanting to know the truth and continuing to spread the word that 9/11 didn't happen the way they want us to believe. 9/11 has set up everything. I mean, just about everything post 9/11 has been based on the fact that 15 to 18 guys from some Middle Eastern community did something. Now, we're not quite sure what, because we haven't found any of them or any of the evidence, or nobody's been convicted of one of the most startling crimes in history. And then we find out the combination of that and Pearl Harbor, which has always been said to be the two biggest conspiracies, were in fact that created, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know what we're talking about, listen to the Pearl Harbor Day program. It's sad. We're in the midst of being controlled by a group of people who want nothing more than to know your every single move. Well, if that isn't enough, are you scared? Are you scared? Are you scared? That's the question being asked, because now the food terrorists are going to be at it. That's right. The food terrorists. You heard the story yesterday about how the bad guys... fill in the blank, whichever bad guys you want, but the AK, those people, a.k.a. Al-Qaeda, the new franchises of terrorists, Well, they were going to take down planes or maybe attack airports or maybe put blades on front of pickup trucks and drive them into a crowd. Well, if you weren't scared enough, we've got another story for you today. Hot on the heels of the pickup truck and blades, we now have